Welcome to the Start Empire Wire Founders Podcast, where we make entrepreneurial founders a top priority. Each episode features risk takers, business builders, community shapers, institutional and government supporters in our local startup ecosystem. Tune in weekly to hear all about what's happening with the movers and the shakers of Southern California's Inland Empire and beyond. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Founders Podcast, another episode. And today I'm with Professor Mike Stoll. You guys probably know him. He is at Cal State San Bernardino, and he's doing an amazing job with the programs over there. But I'm just going to let him introduce himself and tell us all about who he is and where he came up and how he got involved with what he's doing today. All right, Professor Mike, tell us about it.
Awesome. Thanks, Ferris. It's always exciting to be talking to you. We are geeks of entrepreneurship, so have a lot of fun talking about it. So, right now, my role at California State University San Bernardino is as the director of the Inland Empire Center for Entrepreneurship and also the director of the School of Entrepreneurship. The Center for Entrepreneurship has been around, since 1999. I've been the director since 2002. School of Entrepreneurship, relatively new, even though we've been delivering academic programs in entrepreneurship since 2000. We've evolved and grown to the point where we have the first and only School of Entrepreneurship in the state of California. But me, I got involved in entrepreneurship from an early age. I grew up, my parents became entrepreneurs when I was 5 years old. So pretty much my formative years, I watched my parents, struggle to build a business, to take that risk and build a business, leave stable jobs. And, while trying to raise a family and, go off into the unknown. And it was just, I didn't know any different, so it was a lot of fun kind of being around the business, seeing it grow, being a, wanting to be a part of it, when can I work in the business, that kind of thing. That's awesome. And, I'm an Inland Empire. I'm originally from San Diego, Escondido, but grew up here in the Inland Empire. So I've lived in the Inland Empire 57 years, 57 awesome. Of my 59 years, I've been here in the Inland Empire. So I'm a local.
Yes.
I'm just like was that kid that had the lemonade stand, that hustled, sold candy, did all that stuff, had a couple of businesses when I was in college, and then went to work for my family's business and helped grow that.
Nice.
And then ultimately went off and did some consulting, ran a consulting organization, consulting for entrepreneurs. And then while I was doing that, got as an alumni of Cal State San Bernardino, I got pulled back to the university to be a part of the creation of the Center for Entrepreneurship, and I was on the board of advisors for a couple of years, and then became the director of the program. And that's I've been doing that for 20 years.
Man, that's really awesome. So, what was the family business that you, your mom and dad had?
We were in one primary business and then a secondary business in the latter stages. But the primary business was a technology business, avionics, for aircraft, electronic systems, communication systems. We specialized in custom communication systems for mission-based aircraft. Those are aircraft that are things like military, law enforcement, emergency medical, forestry, firefighting, those kind of things. So yes. A fun industry, great customers, really interesting stuff. A blast to be a part of. And then because we also had an interest in health and fitness, we were in a health and fitness business for a number of years.
That's really awesome. So you brought that, took that experience into your consulting, knowing like the nuts and bolts behind the scenes of what makes a business run. When you first started your consulting before you made it to Cal State San Bernardino, tell us what was your kind of perspective on business and like your expectations when you first started there?
Yeah, when I first started consulting, one, I was working with existing companies that were trying to grow, and since I came out of a manufacturing background, I was working with a lot of manufacturing companies trying to help them become more efficient and expand their operations. And since I had done a fair amount of work with the government contracting, I worked with a lot of companies to help them get into the pipeline of how to compete for government contracts. And then I worked with a fair amount of startups. And the one thing that always struck me about the startups was, and even some of the existing companies that were struggling that I was working with, was I always kind of wondered, why did you start this business? Because it doesn't appear that there's an opportunity here.
Yeah.
And it all, and that always struck me. And that was one of the things that, you know, I carried forward even into my, you know, becoming a professor and teaching entrepreneurship, was this idea that fundamentally, you have to have an opportunity in front of you.
Yes.
And the opportunity is, there's some subjectivity to it, but that there is a process and there is a set of information and there's some things that we can sort of go through and understand to know whether it represents an opportunity or not. And so many businesses that I was working with that were struggling, I thought, man, I wonder why they started this, because it doesn't really appear like there's an opportunity. And the other thing that I saw pretty significantly was that they may have had a good opportunity, but they were lacking in a lot of the key competencies that they needed to make it successful. And I could relate to that because I grew up around entrepreneurs with my parents and, you know, in some of the businesses that were in their ecosystem. And one of the things I noticed, you know, was, you know, my parents had to learn it on the fly.
Yes.
And when I went to college at Cal State San Marino, one of my goals was I wanted to be an entrepreneur.
Yes.
But there was no entrepreneurship program. So I had to learn it kind of the hard way too, you know, kind of learn from my parents' example.
Right.
But they were kind of learning as they went along, and I had to sort of do the same thing. And so I saw that with a lot of the people I consulted with, is that they had maybe they had a really good business concept, but they were having trouble executing because they weren't
okay. You know,
they didn't have some of the competencies that they needed. In some cases, they thought that the business was, I vividly remember this technology business I was consulting with. They did custom networks and computers. This is back in the mid 90s.
Okay.
You know, when, before we had the internet, or the internet was just starting to come online, and you still had the kind of the hardwired networks. It wasn't Wi-Fi, any of that stuff. And, I was dealing with a company that was having challenges, and, you know, one day I was going through the financial statements with the owner and going through their cash flow and all that stuff. And about halfway through the session, he just kind of pushed himself back to the desk and gave a big sigh and said, when are we going to be done with this? You know, I said, well, this is really important stuff that we have to go through because you're having financial issues right now. We got to get to the root of the problem here. And he said, yeah, I know. But he said, but I didn't get into business for this. And I said, well, what did you get into business for? He goes, well, I love building computers and networks and doing all that, the techie stuff. And I said, well, if that's what you love to do, maybe you should be an employee, because you're a business owner, and the business is not just the fun stuff. It's the accounting, the marketing, the sales, the HR, it's all that stuff. And you've got to be good at that, and you've got to enjoy doing that.
Yes.
And even if you don't enjoy doing it, you've got to engage, and you still have to do it.
Right.
Because that's your job. You're the owner. You're ultimately responsible for all this stuff. And so you run into some business owners like that, where they think the business, Michael Gerber has a great book called The E-Myth.
The E-Myth.
E-Myth Revisited. Yes. Where he talks about, you know, the entrepreneur, you know, the technician, the leader, and the entrepreneur, or the manager and the entrepreneur.
Yes.
The different, you know, different profiles that you have to play really to be successful in business. And a lot of people are great technicians, but they think the business is the technical skill, and it takes a lot more than that to be successful as an entrepreneur.
That's a really, really good point, because a lot of entrepreneurs start because they're just passionate about something. You know, and it's not enough to carry them through, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Or because they're talented too.
Or they're talented, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
The Inland Empire startup ecosystem industry is tremendously fragmented. A few top-tier hubs, San Francisco, Los Angeles, and San Diego, are well covered by media, events, and data platforms. Finding reliable information relevant to startups or the tech industry in the Inland Empire is extremely difficult. As a result, startups can't scale fast enough. Investors are having a hard time finding the right deals, and corporates can't find the right companies to partner with for their innovation activities. Start Empire Wire, the leading Inland Empire startup publication, is providing the Inland Empire startup ecosystem with the most accurate, engaging business and financial data, events, and news. Our reach of entrepreneurs entrepreneurs, C-level executives, angels, VC investors, startup employees, key management at innovative corporates, and big tech is the solution for your B2B or B2C needs. As we build out our platform, we're looking for partners. This is your opportunity to get in on the ground level. If you're looking to align yourself with the local and growing startup and tech ecosystem of the Inland Empire, we have created the platform to get your name noticed and the opportunity for you to grow the recognition of your brand. Contact us today for availability and pricing options. We look forward to our partnership with you. Okay, so I want to zoom in on the center of entrepreneurship and all of the amazing things that you guys are doing here in the Inland Empire region. Could you just tell us a little bit about how, you know, going more in depth to how that began?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, back in 1998, 99-ish, two faculty members here at the university, Pat McInturf and Jeannie King, had an idea to create a center for entrepreneurship that would be actively engaged in the community as well as the campus. It was during a time where Cal State San Bernardino had put in place a new strategic plan, and a big part of that strategic plan was to be a resource for the community, not just to be a degree granting institution. So the timing was right for that type of an idea to take hold. They got the center approved. I was fortunate to be a part of the group that was consulted on the center and was part of the initial advisory board.
Nice.
Had great plans, you know, and, you know, when I joined as the director, my goal was to really build the program into something substantive and sustainable. And we've done that, you know, we've built the, you know, I was, you know, from one, you know, one employee and an assistant to, you know, now we have close to 70 people that work in the Center for Entrepreneurship, programs. The whole goal of the center is to support and celebrate entrepreneurship and small business, both in the community and on campus. And we do it by providing innovative programs and educational resources. And so, you know, in a given year, so let's use last year as an example, 2021. You know, we provided one-on-one business counseling services to nearly 5,000 business owners. We trained over 17,000 business owners last year. We helped them get, you know, access to capital, loans, increase their sales, you know, over 80, I think it was 88 million last year.
Wow.
So our services are focused on having an impact. We want to help businesses start. I think we had, trying to remember the number of startups we had last year, but it was a fair amount. You know, that we help people get their businesses started. So we want to help them start their business. We want to help them grow their businesses. We want to help them add employees. And that's what we exist for, is to help them be successful. And on the flip side, you know, the center is also on campus, is providing the experiential learning programs for the students, they get a chance to experience entrepreneurship firsthand. You know, they do their coursework, but they get a chance to be a part of the Garner Holt Student Fast Pitch competition, where they pitch their ideas to investors, or they do the Innovation Challenge in the spring, where they're pitching, you know, like Shark Tank, or they're meeting local entrepreneurs. We do a program where they have lunch with local entrepreneurs to build their network of connections and learning from these role models and mentors. So we're doing all these different things. And ultimately the goal is, how can we build a better, more vibrant ecosystem of entrepreneurship in the community that's having an impact?
Yeah. And so you guys are out in Palm Desert. You got the Women's Business Center.
Yep.
What are all of the little sub things of the entrepreneur?
There's
a lot, right?
Yeah, there's a lot. It's it's usually when I'm introducing the center to people in a presentation, I have this graphic and it's got lots of logos on it, all the different things that we do. And if we looked at our top tier programs, for example, you know, would be things like the Inland Empire Small Business Development Center.
Okay.
It'd be the Inland Empire Women's Business Center. It'd be the Coachella Valley Women's Business Center.
Yes.
It'd be our state trade expansion program on our cross-border e-commerce initiative for international trade development. Mm-hmm. Those would be the kind of the real pillars of our center.
Okay.
In terms of like day in and day out, providing business counseling, training, mentoring, coaching programs that are helping people start businesses, or people that are already in business grow their businesses. Obviously, our Women's Business Center is focused on female entrepreneurs. We serve everybody, but they have a, a real target and focus of helping female entrepreneurs. Our Small Business Development Center serves everybody. Our state trade expansion program and our cross-border e-commerce initiative are focused on people that have tangible goods that they can sell internationally, you know, okay, reach new markets. So it's a really, and that's where we're seeing that, you know, 5,000 people a year providing the consulting services to. Yes. And then, you know, and then we launch special programs through the center, like our Catapult Business Growth Network program.
Catapult, yes.
Yeah, that's helping, you know, we're taking companies that meet a certain criteria, that they've been in business at least 2 years, they've got about at least a million in sales, they have five or more employees, and they have a growth imperative. They really want to grow their business. Mm. Yes. And we bring them into a program. It's intensive. They have to take 6 full days, mm-hmm, over about a 45-day period to come and work with us to understand how you grow, how you manage growth, how you put, uh-huh, the systems in place to manage your business to grow and to manage the growth as you achieve it. And they do that with us, and it's a collective group too. So okay, at every step of the way, they're learning how to be a peer mentoring group as well. Wow. So, and it's just, you know, it's a fantastic program. And the feedback we've gotten from, and we're just finishing our very first cohort of this program.
Uh-huh. And you said there's a phase two of this. After
phase two, second cohort. Yeah, okay. We'll start in, I think, August 23rd of, uh-huh, this year. And so we'll be cycling for applications here very soon.
Coming soon.
Yeah, in fact, probably later this week, early next
August?
Week.
Early before
it'll be
August.
It'll be late. We'll start pursuing applications before then, but it'll start, okay, late August.
Okay.
But we're seeing, you know, the feedback we've gotten from the participants thus far has just been fantastic. And in fact, we had a breakthrough last week where we had a business that had been struggling with a problem for 8 months.
Yes.
And through the power of the group, they came up with a solution that they implemented, and it has started to solve the problem in 1 week, basically. So, you know,
the
power of the mastermind group. Yeah. And that cohort now has the opportunity, once they finish the kind of the intensive educational component, uh-huh, learning the tools, implementing the tools, then they're going to move on to, how do we maintain this as a peer mentoring group on a monthly basis?
Yeah, no, that's great. So if you are a business and you are looking for something like a really powerful mastermind and something to catapult your business, yeah, you need to check it out. We wrote, yeah, an article about it on Stardom Power Wire.
Yeah, and the great thing here is this is, you know, we penciled this out based on, you know, what it cost us to deliver this training.
Uh-huh.
And it was $6,500 for the training. And,
yes.
And we, through a grant from Bank of America, we were able to scholarship every one of those companies in the first cohort.
Wow.
Second cohort will be eligible for that scholarship as well.
Hey,
so it's a great deal.
Y'all better know,
to be able to.
I might have to apply.
Yeah.
Okay. So also, you guys host something that I consider to be like the Grammys for entrepreneurship, the Spirit Awards.
Yeah,
tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, Spirit of the Entrepreneur. And it's funny you say that, because a lot of the people that have been attending the event over the years, 2022 is our 20th anniversary of the event.
Wow.
They've dubbed it the Oscars of Business.
The Oscars of Business. Yeah, yeah, that's what it was. The Oscars. Yeah, yeah, one of those fancy ceremonies. Yeah.
It's, you know, the whole idea, the genesis of the Spirit Awards was there was no event in the region that recognized, celebrated entrepreneurship and small business. And as I talked, you know, to people in the community, that, you know, well, I got to Cal State and I started talking to the small number of students we had back then. We had less than 10 students studying entrepreneurship. And I said, hey, who do you want to be like? Who's your, yeah, role model? And they couldn't tell me anybody in the community. They would give me the big, you know, these days, if I ask students that, they'll say Elon Musk or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
but, you know, back then they couldn't tell me any local entrepreneurs. And then when I was working with a lot of the people in the community, I would say, you know, I would go to a community and say, well, who's your leading entrepreneurs in the community? And they couldn't tell me. There's a gap, right? So we need, yeah, to sell, we need to know, these are our role models. These are the economic drivers of our region. And they mostly toil in obscurity, right? They don't,
yeah,
most people,
right,
don't know who they are.
That's true.
So I said, you know, we should create an event where we bring these people together so that they meet each other, because oftentimes they don't know who each other, you know, all these entrepreneurs operate in isolation. Mostly they, yes, don't know who each other are. Our communities don't know who they are. Our, yes, students don't know who they are. Let's bring an event together that celebrates what's a critical driver of our economy locally.
Right.
And do it in a fun way where we have entertainment. It's black tie. It's red carpet. It feels like you're going to the Academy Awards and being
it's
recognized
amazing.
For the role you play, right?
Yeah.
And so we've been doing that. You know, this is our 20th year. Have grown the program, you know, to, you know, the last time we had our full-scale program right before COVID.
Right before, yeah.
We, you know, we had more than 1,000 people attend the event.
That's what I was, yeah. I went to the one right before COVID. Yeah. And then I think the most recent one I've been right after it reopened. So
yeah, we did a little bit of a scaled down version last year because there were still the lingering COVID issues.
Yeah.
So we kind of played it safe and we did a little scaled down. We still had about 800 people.
It was still really great. And I mean, if you haven't experienced the spirit of the Entrepreneur Awards, ladies and gentlemen, you need to be there this year.
Yeah, and if you're an entrepreneur, right now we're in the nomination period through August 15th of 2022. We're taking nominations. And so if you know of a great entrepreneur that you think should get recognized, it's a competitive process. We start with about 200 plus nominations. We get that down to usually around 100, and then that gets cut down to about 35 or 40, and then that gets cut down to about 27. And then ultimately we have award recipients in anywhere from 6 to 7 categories. But if you're an entrepreneur and you want to be considered, you can self-nominate. We encourage that. If you know of an entrepreneur that you think should get recognized, put their name in. And you know, we can provide the website information, but it's a real simple nomination process.
Okay.
And once they're nominated, we take it from there.
We'll put that out on the weekly wide roundup so that people can have the link to that.
Yeah, and it's a fun event. I mean, that's a, you know, black tie, you know, you get to go out and the networking is fantastic.
Yes.
We always have entertainment, you know, as a part of the event. So it's not
y'all just had dueling pianos, I think, two years ago. It was really awesome.
We've had big band. We've had entertainers like classic rock artist Eddie Money has played our show before, you know, he played our 10th anniversary show. So we do all kinds of fun stuff. And even one year, Stacy and I actually were part of the entertainment. So,
nice.
it's a fun night out. And like I said, it's inspirational. And I think that's the thing. Every time it never gets old for me, even 20 years in, when I go to the event, it's a lot of work, but, I leave there inspired by all the stories of the successful entrepreneurs and the people I meet.
And I think that's another thing that, you know, what's so valuable about this event is that entrepreneurs who go there can aspire to become one of those entrepreneurs who are recognized. And you get you guys are pushing out a lot of media on your website and on social media. So it's really great. I don't think there's any other event like it here in Southern California or even all of California, is there?
It's not like ours. No, it's very unique. The scale, the focus. And you said something very important, Varius, that the entrepreneurs themselves leave inspired as well. And we hear this every year, particularly when they go through the judging process, those that make it to the judging round and they actually meet each other for the very first time, most of them. And as they're leaving the judging reception, which is like a 3-hour reception, most of them come up to me and say, wow, I'm just like, I feel honored just to be among these people because
that's awesome.
These are incredible entrepreneurs. And I'm just in awe of being in the same room with them. And these are really successful entrepreneurs.
Yes.
But the nice thing too is when they start to make connections and they start to become friends or they start to find ways to do business together. You know, again, it's part of building a vibrant, you know, I hate the word ecosystem. Kind of overused.
It's overused.
But that's part of building a vibrant ecosystem where you have interconnectedness.
I actually recently had on the Founders Podcast an entrepreneur who I met at the Spirit Awards.
There you go. Yeah.
I've met so many great entrepreneurs at the Spirit Awards, and I wouldn't have met them if I hadn't been for the Spirit Awards.
Yeah. It's a social event. The vibe is about celebration and fun and recognition.
Yeah.
And so it's a great place. And as you know, the receptions, multiple receptions, and you get a chance to interact with a lot of really cool people. and you know, and hopefully make some lasting connections.
Yeah. Okay, so tell us about the growth of the Center of Entrepreneurship from where you began to like where it is today. I know that's a probably a big story, but try to condense it to maybe like 5 or 10 minutes.
Oh yeah, we can do that. Sure, yeah.
All right.
And it's not without challenges too, right?
Yeah.
So I'll share that as a part of it.
Okay. Yes, because the growing pains will be part of it.
Yeah, the growing pains are part of it. Everybody faces that. And I'll talk about my own experience with that. Yeah, it's, you know, that's why I was interested in the Center for Entrepreneurship, and why I was brought up, you know, to be the director, was to grow the program, to build it into a nationally / globally recognized program, but most importantly, a program that had impact in the community and on campus. And that was the goal from day, you know, from when I got here, was to build a program.
Yes.
You know, when I first started here, I'd never worked at a university, so it took a little bit of a
getting used to.
Yeah, I always tell people, like the first week after I started here, I thought to myself, "What have I done? Why am I here?" You know, like, but then once I kind of got the cadence and the operations tempo of the university and the norms and the culture, and could figure out how I could be an entrepreneur within the system, then it all started to come together, and I started putting together successes and building the program. And, you know, we went from, you know, when I got here, it was me and one other person, and then the founders of the center, and to now, you know, about 70 team members working in the center through various programs. And so where we've tried to do is grow, is to provide as many resources and as many unique programs as we could that would help the community and that would help the students, you know, from the perspective of the academic programs and providing experiential learning. I wanted all the things that I wanted as a student that we didn't have, you know, the pitch competitions and the ability to learn from practicing entrepreneurs and to have entrepreneurs in the classroom with us, you know, and learning by doing, not lecture, you know, learning by doing. Yeah, exactly. Right. So building all that in, but in the community too, like that's the genesis of our Women's Business Center program was as I was talking to people in the community, and I was talking to a lot of female entrepreneurs, and I was saying, tell me about your experience. And they said, well, there's resources out there, but there's nothing tailored to our needs. And that was a very powerful statement. And so I started looking around, what's out there? And I did a fellowship in Washington, D.C. over a summer with one of the federal agencies. And the whole goal of the fellowship, as a part of a Hispanic serving institution, which Cal State is, was to learn about what all the different federal agencies were doing and how you might partner with them on different programs or projects. And I was familiar with the SBA, obviously, but I spent time in the SBA office, and I learned about a program called the Women's Business Center. It was in the nascent stage at that time. They were just getting more funding from Congress to start to scale it up a little bit. And so I had conversations with their team back there, and they learned what we were doing, and they encouraged us to apply to be a part of the process of, you know, being a part of that next phase of growth.
Yes.
We got selected awesome. For another one. So we started building these programs over time. And, you know, pursuing different opportunities, and some opportunities come and then they go away, you know, because 94% of the funding of our Center for Entrepreneurship comes from grants, contracts, sponsorships. Only 6% is funded by the university. So it's me and my team constantly finding new opportunities and funding for our programs. Yeah. And obviously over the last 5 years in particular, is where we really blew up. In terms and that was, you know, we just had, you know, our reputation, more partnerships, more collaboration, you know, getting more funding from some of our existing funding sources. And also, you know, the funding that came about through COVID with CARES Act and all those things, you know, allowed us to get big grants to scale up our operations. But of course, that brought growing pains, right? Because
growing
you're growing pains, really, really fast. You got to have the systems and processes in place to manage it. And we didn't, you know, we didn't have those. And so we had to quickly get those in place. And over the last 3 years, we've become a much more efficient, effective Center for Entrepreneurship, streamlined. We have a leadership team that manages the center now. It's not just me.
Okay.
We're aligned. All of our programs are aligned so that they're working collaboratively, not working in silos.
Yes.
We're what we call building an integrated organization with a common brand and a common goal. And, you know, but it's been hard. There's growing pains. And, you know, the first growing pain you have as an entrepreneur is you look in the mirror and go, I'm not sure I know what I know what I need to do here.
Right.
We're not, you know, especially with, you know, a lot of what we learn as entrepreneurs is how you start your business.
Yeah.
How do you hustle and get it up off the ground? We don't normally teach, although our entrepreneurship program for our students teaches it. How do you manage the growth? When you start growing, how do you manage it?
By creating systems and
creating systems and processes. And and our center works on what's called an entrepreneurial operating system, or EOS.
Okay. I've heard of that.
Yeah. Which is a proven system, a simple set of tools that covers six key areas of your business. And if you can implement those tools, you get traction. Everybody's aligned. Everybody's on the same page. You have a clear picture of where you're heading. Everybody's on the same page every day, working towards that vision of where you want to be. We set a 3-year picture. We have a 1-year plan, and then we have quarterly goals or objectives, what we call rocks, that we work towards. And then our team, our leadership team, meets on a weekly basis, 90 minutes. Focus on accountability. Are we on track with our objectives? Are we on track with our scorecard in terms of our key metrics? Are we getting our to-do items done? And then we spend 60 of those 90 minutes every week on problem solving, identifying, discussing, and solving issues that are holding us back.
Right.
It's a very powerful system. It's created a more cohesive, integrated team.
Are these systems that you teach through some of, like, Catalyst Growth Network?
Yeah, exactly. Catalyst. That's exactly
Okay, cool.
Same type of tools that we teach in the Catalyst program, because they are proven and they work.
I've read, I don't know if I was listening to a podcast or either read it, but they were talking about how, you know, people up, you know, in Silicon Valley scale businesses so fast. They say it's because everything has an operating system.
Yeah.
I don't know who or where I've heard that. Maybe I heard you talking about it. I don't know.
Well, it could be. Yeah. Oftentimes we'll often say to entrepreneurs that you really need several things. One.
Yeah.
You should have an operating system. It doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah.
You have an operating system no matter what. You know, if it's,
yes.
If you just are doing things ad hoc, you know, that's the mic operating system, whatever it is.
Right.
You know, but you should have an operating system, and it should be mindful, and you should follow it.
Yes.
Two, you should be part of some kind of a peer mentoring group, of a mastermind group.
Yes.
Of peer entrepreneurs that have experiences that you can learn and grow from.
Yes.
And then the third is to have a coach, you know, to have somebody that you can lean on and can be sort of dedicated to you as a mentor coach relationship. So those are some of those things. When I run into entrepreneurs, I always say, you know, you really should strive to have those three things at a minimum. You know, have an operating system that you follow, be a part of a peer mentoring group, even if it's just informal, and have a coach, you know.
We
see a lot of really successful entrepreneurs, and, you know, I would add another element to that, which is to just be committed to continuous learning, you know.
Continuous
learning, and learn at every chance you get. Every person you meet, you can learn something from them. Every interaction you have, every book you read, you can learn something from.
Yes.
You know, and I call them learning takeaways. Everywhere we go, we should have learning takeaways.
Learning takeaway. Yeah, because you can apply pretty much anything that you are learning just throughout life.
Yeah.
Into your business. I do have another question.
Awesome.
Regarding the entrepreneur survey that you put out, awesome resource. We've written an article or two about it. Can you tell people what that is? And are you guys going to repeat that again sometime soon?
Yes. State of Entrepreneurship Report. We did the initial inaugural report in 2021. Surprisingly, nobody has ever done this. Done a comprehensive assessment of the state of entrepreneurship in the region. We've been wanting to do it for a number of years. It's been entrepreneurs out there would feel this, you know, can relate to this. I have constantly probably 89 balls in the air.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to juggle them all. And and at the same time that I'm juggling those balls, I got a stack of balls sitting on the table over there that I
keep eyeballing into it.
That I want to add in. Right. So I've been wanting to do this for years, and I finally, you know, made it a priority that we were going to focus on it. We were going to do it. Over the years, people have asked me, hey, can you tell us about, you know, what's happening with entrepreneurs and entrepreneurship in the region? And I couldn't really, you know, and part of it is because it's labor intensive. It takes time. It took us 6 months to develop and deliver this report.
Yes.
But what it did was, you know, we know that there's, if we look at a macro level, big picture of entrepreneurship, there's four indicators of entrepreneurial activity that are kind of commonly accepted. The Kauffman Foundation, which is the number one foundation in the world dedicated to entrepreneurship. Yeah. Looks at, you know, the rate of new entrepreneurs, the survival rate of entrepreneurs. They look at opportunity share of entrepreneurship. We look at these four indicators, and they measure them on the national and they measure them on the state level. So every year we can look at that report, but they don't measure them at the local level. So we said, well, we're going to take that data and we're going to drill down and do it at the local level.
Do it local.
So what can we learn about the Inland Empire? So we did that. Then we did the second piece of the State of Entrepreneurship Report was an actual survey of local entrepreneurs. So we reached out far and wide and got out the survey to as many entrepreneurs as we could. Yes. We got over 1,400 responses back. We took that data and we said, what's on the mind of entrepreneurs? What are they thinking? What are they facing? What are their challenges? What do they need? And we did that. Then we did an assessment of the ecosystem. There's that word again.
Yeah.
We did an assessment of the ecosystem and kind of tried to look at it and say, you know, what are our strengths and what are our weaknesses in the region in terms of the types of support organizations and initiatives that are out there to support entrepreneurship and the structures that are there. And then the last thing we did is we talked to some key influencers in the region about what they thought was the state of entrepreneurship in the region.
Yeah.
We took that collectively, those four major pillars, and put them into a report and delivered that report. We did an overview presentation of it and then widely disseminated the electronic version of it. And we've done a variety of presentations in recent months to different groups, most recently kind of the innovation update. And, you know, it's just, and we're going to do that report every year.
Every year.
Now, okay. And every year, we're always going to have what we call the voice of the entrepreneur, that survey of local entrepreneurs. The questions will change each year.
Okay.
We're always going to do the four indicators because those numbers are going to change each year.
Yeah.
And then beyond that, this year, one of the things we're going to add in is we're going to do a focus group with a collective of entrepreneurs to get a little bit different insight from their experience. So we got lots of really cool things. So in December of 2022, we'll deliver the second, you know, State of Entrepreneurship Report. And it's now it is an annual thing. It's part of our, it's part of our cadence. It's a part of our operations tempo that's something we do every year.
It's the key a real valuable resource.
It's valuable research. Yeah. The data is important. It can be used. We can develop custom reports for people as well because we invested pretty significantly in a lot of data. Some of it's publicly available. Some of it you have to buy. And then we also are able to take that data and kind of synergize a lot of data sources because particularly myself and Dr. Anna Long in the School of Entrepreneurship, that's our specialty.
You know,
I mean, I'm an entrepreneur, but because I have a doctorate, I also understand how to, you know, to play with data, you know, to have fun with data. I was kind of a data specialist in my doctoral studies. So, so we're able to kind of make sense of the data that's out there. And, you know, it's a powerful, you know, tool to make decisions. We've used the data as the Center for Entrepreneurship. We use the data. Uh-huh. I'll give you two tangible examples of how we use the data. Catapult Business Growth Network, number one.
Yeah.
Survey, Voice of the Entrepreneur survey. A large number of respondents said they wanted to grow their business, but they weren't sure how to do it.
Oh.
And the second was we said, you know, who do you like to talk to about your business? And the number one answer wasn't your accountant, wasn't your attorney, it wasn't your spouse, it wasn't your priest or your minister. It was your fellow entrepreneur.
Other entrepreneurs. Yep,
yes.
That's true.
But as we talk to entrepreurs, they don't have a big network of peers.
They don't have the network of peers.
So that's where the catapult came in. We said, we're going to teach you how to grow your business.
Perfect. Yeah.
And we're going to connect you with other entrepreneurs.
Wow.
So we bring those two things together. Second thing was we knew from experience plus the survey board that was borne out in the survey is that a lot of small entrepreneurs, small businesses got left by the wayside during the COVID pandemic when it came to getting access to funding.
Oh, yes.
And this was particularly true of minority-owned businesses.
Yes, yes.
Because they weren't prepared financially. They didn't have their books in order. They didn't know how to apply for these things. They weren't, and it was like a gold, it was like a land rush, you know, whoever got there first was going to get it.
It's true. Yeah.
And if you weren't ready, you got left behind, and that's unfortunate. So we created what we call the Financial Fitness Bootcamp for small business owners and entrepreneurs to teach them those fundamentals and to get them ready for the next time this happens. Cause it will, we're
inevitably
there's going to be something else, right?
Right.
Recession, another pandemic, whatever.
They'll find a way to print some money.
Right, exactly. And even better is like, let's get your house in order now.
That's
because
true.
Yeah. As you start to grow, you're going to be lined up and ready to get financing. So you understand how the game's played. You understand what you need to do. You now jump onto the court. I'm a huge sports
yes.
fan. You jump on the court ready to take that shot and score.
Ah, nice.
So those are two tangible examples.
That Financial Fitness Boot Camp, is that a separate thing that you guys do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. We've delivered, we've done three cohorts of that. I think our last cohort had over 100 people in it.
Very cool. Okay.
So we're getting ready to do another one. We've done that both virtually and in person.
Okay.
Yeah, we're getting ready to do another cohort of that as well.
Awesome.
Even back to the State of Entrepreneurship Report, we had a local high school that has an entrepreneurship program. And one of the areas that we said that high schools needed to put more resources into supporting entrepreneurship, teaching entrepreneurship, making students aware of entrepreneurship. And this high school took the report to their school district and said, Cal State San Bernardino says we need to invest, the region needs to invest in more in entrepreneurship. We have a fledgling program here.
Wow.
We need more resources. And they got them.
That's freaking awesome.
Yeah, that's the power of the report, right?
That's the power of the report. That report, if you haven't downloaded the report, ladies and gentlemen, you can find it on the Cal State San Bernardino website. Where is it at, Professor Stahl?
It's at entre.csusb.edu. Mm-hmm. And if you go there and you go under the Center for Entrepreneurship, there'll be a menu item for the State of Entrepreneurship Report, and you can download it right from the website.
Awesome. Okay, so tell us a few of your short-term goals. I think two short-term goals for immediate future, for any of the programs, two short-term goals.
Well, we just talked about it. We want to scale up this Catalyst. Business Growth Network and have that become an ongoing program. And the second phase of that is that mastermind group. And we want to have throughout the region multiple mastermind groups going, right?
Yes.
The other thing that we're working on that's kind of a short term, but it's kind of long term, mm-hmm. is helping build a more robust innovation system within the region, particularly around national security innovation. And we're actually working with the United States Navy, the National Security Innovation Network, and an organization called FedTech, as well as some other local partners, to try and put together a plan for building a regional approach to innovation in that sector.
That's pretty cool.
In that kind of context. And that's kind of a short term plus a long term goal.
Are you guys going to be working with like the tech transfer stuff as well?
Yeah, tech transfer stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's got both short and long term. The other short term thing is we are in the process and trying to bring to fruition in 2022 or early 2023 at the latest, two entrepreneurial resource centers.
Okay.
These would be, think of like a Walmart super center, but for entrepreneurship.
Oh.
And what we're trying to do is build up a program, a physical location, where not only are we delivering our programs, but we're bringing in partner programs, other organizations under one umbrella. That's a one-stop shop for people that want to start a business, have a business and going to come in, even to the point where our goals, our big picture goals for this is that we're going to have built into these entrepreneurial resource centers, retail space.
Wow.
We're going to have an opportunity for a food hub, a food network, a food hub kind of incubator.
Yeah. So these would be incubating businesses. That would be freaking awesome.
So you get services there. You could build a food service. We have, we've got about a dozen programs, specialized programs that we want to deliver through these entrepreneurial resource centers, plus bring in our partner organizations like the National Latino Women's Business Association, Emprendedores, we want to bring them under and bring there. So we're a part of a big team.
Yes.
Collectively collaborating together to provide these services, and we have plans to do one big entrepreneurial resource center here in the city of San Bernardino. Uh-huh. And we're working on a couple of possible locations in the county of Riverside right now.
Very cool.
So we're trying our darndest to bring those to fruition in 2022,
early 2022.
Wow. Yes.
Okay. Yes. that's a great short-term goal. Yeah. We'll be looking forward to that one.
So it's a big bite.
No, that's a big dream. I was thinking this was like 3 years down the line. Cool.
We've been conceiving it, putting it together for the last year. And, we're working with the funding sources, right? You know, the different funders right now and looking at different locations. And our goal, we'd be delighted if we could get one off the ground in 2022.
Oh, that'd be great. Maybe
Q1 of 2023. And one in each county to one serve both counties.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, we have, the Center for Entrepreneurship, we have 5 full-time office locations throughout the 2-county region. We have a full-time office in Palm Desert. We have a full-time office in Riverside. We have a full-time office in Ontario.
Yes.
We have a full-time office in Colton.
Yes.
And then we have about 10 part-time offices throughout the 2-county where we're working one to 2 days a week.
Oh, yeah.
In collaboration, we're given office space by a particular organization. We go there and meet.
Yes, yes.
And so, but this would further expand the footprint and bring more resources to bear to support entrepreneurs in the region.
Yeah, that's going to be great for the entrepreneurs in the region. So tell us about your long-term goals, starting with 3 years, 5 years, and then 10 years.
Well, you're as an entrepreneur yourself, 10-year goals.
I know.
You're planting a flag. Kind of
pie in the sky, right?
Yeah. 10 years. Our Center for Entrepreneurship and even our School of Entrepreneurship, we focus we plant our flag at 3 years.
Okay.
And we say we have a 3-year picture for where we want to be as an organization.
Mm.
And then we backtrack from there and we say, okay,
What
does it take to get there? What's our 3-year picture? And then what's over the next year, what is it going to take for us to get there?
Yeah.
And, so that's kind of the way we operate, is set that flag at 3 years and then kind of backtrack from there. And you could easily make it 5 if you wanted, you could say 10.
Uh-huh.
But what we've found, at least in our experience, has been that for us, setting that 3-year picture, oftentimes it gives it more urgency because it's closer to us.
That's true.
And it's not such a long, it's not such a
far off
thing. And then the second thing is, it puts a lot of focused effort and pressure to where, we're hitting some of our 3-year goals. We revisit our 3-year picture every year. So when our annual meeting, we revisit and we revise it, because oftentimes we hit our 3-year, some of our 3-year picture in 1 year.
Earlier,
because it's so, tangible.
Right.
But I think, like for us, one of the things we look at for the Center for Entrepreneurship is, we're trying to build, to get the center to have what we call an endowment. So that the center is named, in 3 years, we want to be a named center. So somebody has given us a large gift, multi-million dollar gift, which creates a funding endowment that allows us to have discretionary funding ongoing.
Yeah.
In the same way that our Jack H. Brown College of Business and Public Administration was named for Jack Brown. That $10 million went into an endowment fund, and that endowment fund generates interest every year. And that interest is what funds operations. Some of your operations, right?
Yes.
So that's one of our big goals, is to get that funding endowment. The second thing is, is we want to have, when people think of entrepreneurship in the region, we want to be the first thing they think of.
Top of mind.
Our tagline is, we are entrepreneurship, and we want to be recognized as we are entrepreneurship. When people think of us, we're like the rock star. We're the top of mind.
Like the Michael Jordan in basketball,
You're the Michael Jordan in basketball.
Or Kobe.
You're the Kobe, you're the Kanye, the Rolling Stones, whatever it is.
Right.
That's people think of you as that. And that's where we want to be.
Okay.
We want to get to a point where, not only we have an endowment funding, but we are bringing in new money sources. We've got new collaborations.
Yes.
That are helping us launch new programs. You know, one of the long-term goals we have, whether we get to it or not, remains to be seen, is to take the Spirit Awards and have it be a licensed program that other regions could model. They could license the concept. Not really a franchise, but they could license the concept.
Yeah.
And you know, we would generate revenue from kind of this brand and this process that we've built over the years. So those are the kind of things. But I think, you know, for us, the number one thing is funding endowment and really continuing to build programs that deliver, that are active in the community, that and having a strong branding and effort to where, you know, when people think of entrepreneurship, they think of Cal State San Bernardino, Jack H. Brown College, Inland Empire Center for Entrepreneurship.
Yeah, love it. So, all right. So is there anything else that you would like to add on to add on to the interview that we haven't asked, that I haven't even asked yet? You know, is there any other questions?
Well, you've done it. Yeah, I mean, you've done you've done a fantastic job of, you know, learning, you know, helping the audience learn more about what we're doing. And I think a lot of what it is, you know, just reinforcing that, you know, we exist to support and celebrate entrepreneurs, that our programs, things like the Small Business Development Center, the Women's Business Center, those programs are in the community and they're focused on helping people launch the business of their dream, get their business to the next level, create new jobs, have an impact in the community, create value. You know, that's for us, that's the win. That's why we exist. The second thing is, you know, with our, now that we've brought the School of Entrepreneurship online, is, you know, having that is the pipeline for the next generation of entrepreneurs in the region. You know, and as it, you know, when we just did that alumni survey and we had 42% of our alumni have started a business, those are businesses largely in the community. They're creating jobs, and you know, we have to replenish that, you know, entrepreneurial talent in the region,
right?
And having, you know, what we do through the School of Entrepreneurship, or even like what we do with the Center for Entrepreneurship. You know, just a few weeks ago, we finished up our Upstarters Discovery Camp for high school students, where we teach entrepreneurship to high school students. And they get a chance to meet local entrepreneurs and learn what it takes to be entrepreneurs. Last week, we were working with middle school minority male students in a STEM program, but part of the program, they bring them in to learn about entrepreneurship and how they would take their STEM innovations and create businesses out of them.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
And, you know, we even developed a special game. These are middle school students. We developed a special game, Stacy Alice and I in the Center for Entrepreneurship, to teach entrepreneurship to middle school students so that it's
fun.
That's
cool.
It's called Super Biz Heroes, and they solve a problem and they pick super business heroes to help them. They're like Marvel heroes.
Nice.
They're ones we created.
Yeah.
That have business power, superpowers.
That's cool.
And they create the business and they build a team around these superpowers.
Wow.
And then they implement the solution. They pitch it to us and they get investment from us, which is kind of fun. So
I love the creativity of that too. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So anything related to entrepreneurship, you know, we're super excited about. And again, like you said, that's kind of that short-term, long-term goal is I would love to see even more of these entrepreneurial resource centers, you know, throughout the region, where almost anywhere you go, you can get access to those, easily get access to those resources in myriad ways. So that's the thing that's exciting for me about being a part of the Center for Entrepreneurship.
Yes.
And one of the reasons why every day I'm excited to be here is because we have so much more that we can do. The amount of projects and the amount of ideas that we have and the things that we want to do, you know, the we can't get accomplished in a day, a quarter, a year.
Yes.
And so I, you know, my thing is like over the next 5 years, 3 to 5 years, you know, we're going to continue that trajectory of growing the center. It's going to be top of mind. It's going to be continue to be impactful and, you know, be an important part of the community.
That's awesome. So I like, I just have to say, I'm blown away by the amount of resources you guys are constantly putting out. And it gives like people like myself trying to start media companies easy, you know, easy start when I see something like the Entrepreneurship Report and, you know, okay, like what can I write on today? Oh, Inland Empire Center for Entrepreneurship. So I love it. And I'm pretty sure our audience is as well as myself, like, you know, has learned. I've learned so much in this interview. I'm pretty sure our audience has learned a lot about what the breadth and the depth of the things that you guys are doing.
Yeah. And, no matter where you're at in your entrepreneurial development, whether you're a startup, existing company, growing through, you know, having challenges or having good challenges of growing too quickly and not sure how to manage it. You know, we've got programs. You've got a solid business, but you're looking at how can I start selling internationally? We've got, you know, all the different elements, all the different components. You're a female entrepreneur and you really want to, you know, get programs that are customized specifically for female entrepreneurs.
Yeah,
we've got all that. It was like I said earlier, we are entrepreneurship. We really are everything entrepreneurship. It's exciting.
Yes.
And we want to make sure that, you know, we're the resource. And if we don't have a resource, we're connected to the resource that can help you.
Bring it in. Where can people find you online? Where can they find information about the Center for Entrepreneurship? All of the various programs that are offered. Where should they go?
The very first and easiest starting point is our website, entre.csusb.edu. That's a website that has all the information on the center and the School of Entrepreneurship, all the different programs. It also provides you the links to all of our specialized programs. So, you know, because all of our women's business centers and our SBDCs have their own unique websites. You can learn about those programs and get right to their websites from that entre.csusb.edu. So it's kind of a one-stop starting point to get access to all those resources. And I always encourage people to reach out to me. If they have questions, they can hit me up by email and call me, you know, and I will direct them to the resource. Like I said, if we don't have the resource that can help you, we know where to direct you with the resource.
Awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard it here on the Founders Podcast. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast, Professor Stoll. We really appreciate your time. We appreciate all of the information that you're putting out and all of the work and the passion and the creativity, everything that, you know, you're putting out through the Inland Empire Center for Entrepreneurship, you and your team.
Thank you. Thank you for doing what you're doing, because as you know, Various, this is one of those areas of the ecosystem that we believe we need to have more effort put in.
Yes.
And that then what you're doing is a critical part of it. Having a vibrant media coverage presence, having media entities like yourself are connectors.
Yes.
They're information sharing, but they're connectors of people and programs and activities. And having that is a part of a vibrant ecosystem. And so I really applaud what you're doing, because
thank you.
It needs to be done. And I love what you're doing. And I can't wait every week to see who's on the podcast and to read.
Yes.
The articles, because it keeps me connected and it keeps my juices flowing, because that's exciting. I'm all about entrepreneurship. I have a few other hobbies, but I just geek out on entrepreneurship.
Entrepreneurship is definitely
it
takes up a lot of my time.
Yeah.
And so I love it. And so thank you so much as well. And thank you for the shout out in the Entrepreneur Report too, because I can show people, hey, he mentioned Startup Power Wire in there. So.
Yep, it's an important part of the ecosystem, and awesome. We hope that it continues to build and
yes.
Continue to help the entire region thrive.
Yes, sir, we will. Ladies and gentlemen, make sure you click that like button. If you are not subscribed to this channel, make sure you subscribe, because we are constantly putting out these interviews. We're putting out more, and we plan on, you know, adding more. We want to do like Dr. Stoll and create all these programs through Startup Power Wire towards the media as well. Thank you for coming on, Dr. Stoll. We look forward to having you on a number two interview to go through some more details of maybe some specific programs as well.
I would love it. Anytime you call me, I'll be there for you.
Awesome. All right. Have a great day, ladies and gentlemen. See you next time. Peace.